Well, we've been going through Revelation. If you could actually open up your Bibles this morning, we're going to take a look at Revelation 7. Revelation has some pretty scary stuff, and I don't know, it's Halloween. Today is Halloween. Is anyone going out? Raise your hand if you're actually going out. Janice is going out. Grace is going out. Tim's going out. Michelle's going out. All right. Right. What are you going to be, Michelle? A little girl. Okay. Tim, what are you going to be? Not a little girl. You're going to be Joe. Okay, Janice, how about you? A ninja? All right. Grace? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, last week we took Morgan and Isabel to this thing called the Trick-or-Treat Trail. And it's in Clawson. And basically the Trick-or-Treat Trail is... You go to this park, Clawson Park, and it's this big square, and businesses and churches and stuff set up like booths, and so all the kids line up and they just walk in this square and pick up candy and stuff. And you know, before we brought them there, as we were bringing them, getting out of the car, I was like, maybe we should explain to them, you know, that they're gonna see some stuff that's kind of... At this trick-or-treat place, you know, we bring around, there's this guy that's up in this, he's in this tree stand, okay? So, like, picture, I don't know if you know what, like, you know, it's like a hunter, you know, and so, like, he's up in this tree stand, and he's got, like, this, get-up on, and he'll go, rawr! And then he'll drop candy down to the kids down below, down at the bottom. He's set up this tarp and stuff, and he'll, and so, I don't know, like, Morgan was kind of like, you could kind of tell she was like, he screamed really loud, like, you know, like 100 yards out, and they're kind of looking over there. But, you know, she got through it, and like once you put the candy down, then no one really cares anymore. They're like, yeah, candy. But, you know, it is a darker holiday, and it was kind of cool because as we were getting out of the car and walking over to get in line for this trick-or-treat, you know, event, we looked out, and it was kind of cool because we saw a rainbow kind of through the trees. And I don't know, it wasn't like anything huge or anything, but it was just a small reminder for us. Like, Sarah and I were like, wow, that's really kind of cool. Like, it was just a small reminder of us. Like, it was almost like God telling us, like, hey, just remember, like, me in the midst of all this. Like, just remember, like, I'm right here, okay? Even in the midst of, like, this kind of this... I don't know. There was kids dressed up as all kinds. I saw a kid dressed up as a hamburger. He was like a giant hamburger, and there was a kid that was a crayon, and saw some Transformers and stuff like that. But it was just this, I don't know, this, when we saw this rainbow, it was kind of this promise and kind of a reminder to us. And this picture of God's promise, you know, because again, you guys know where the rainbow came from. It came from Noah's story, you know, and again, man, Noah is not like a, you know, when you're in Sunday school, you kind of look at the animals going into the ark, you know, this family getting the ark, but it's really a morbid story, actually. But this rainbow is a promise, you know, it's kind of this promise that God's not going to, he wouldn't destroy the earth like this in the same fashion that he would back then. And it just, as we saw, it was just a kind of reminder of promise and protection in the middle of this kind of a darker holiday. And I don't know, today, when we look at Scripture, the Scripture that we're looking at today, we kind of see this same, a promise and this protection that God has over us, okay? because, man, you remember last week that, you know, Young was preaching on Revelation 6, and it was beginning to detail God's plan for reclaiming the earth, right? Like, here is my plan for, I'm sick of sin, I'm going to take the earth back for myself and reclaim it. And, you know, and there was a scroll that had seven seals on it, those little wax seals, and on it, as those seals were open, there was a judgment that was being released on the earth. And if you remember, I mean, it is like a really, it's really hard to fathom. Young was trying to help us to grasp what it would be like, you know, because there's one of the seals talks about how a fourth of the inhabitants of the earth would just be wiped out, would be destroyed. And he said, you know, it was kind of like putting the whole population of China and the whole population of the United States and just wiping that out. So it's a really heavy time, and it's basically God saying, I'm done. I'm finished with the sin. It's time to take things back. Okay? And you know, as the passage ends, if you remember, the passage ends with people experiencing God's wrath, and people are like, we can't take this. We don't want to see God. We don't want to see the Lamb like this. And so they're like, if it would be better if rocks fell on us, if mountains covered us, it would be better than seeing the face of God and seeing, you know, the lambs, this kind of wrath that's coming down. And it with this question, you know, it says, fall on us, hide on us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. And it ends with this question, you know, who's going to be able to stand in these last days? And we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning, but, and it's so hard for us to even kind of wrap our minds around, but in these last days, I mean, people are asking, it's so bad, his wrath is so great, like, is there anyone who's going to be able to stand up, you know? And kind of the scripture we look at today kind of answers that question. Who's going to be left? Is there anyone that's going to be able to stand under this wrath? Is there anyone who's going to be able to survive? Okay? So let's take a look at our passage. Chapter 7, starting with verses 1 through 3, it says this. I saw the four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming out from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given the power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land and the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. All right? And so what we're seeing here, like this picture of, you know, he says, after this I saw, is that it's kind of it's somewhat of a flashback, because we just heard, you know, in Revelation 6 when Young was preaching, he talked about all these seals are being opened and all this judgment being, this wrath being poured out on the inhabitants of the earth. And so kind of this passage is almost like a flashback before that wrath comes, before that flood of wrath is being unleashed in the form of war, in the form of starvation, in the form of disease, in the form of earthquakes. If you review chapter 6, the quarter of the population is totally wiped out. And so what we're looking at is just prior to God's outpouring of his judgment. And what you have is these four angels, and they're like at the four corners of the earth, you know, kind of symbolically standing around the earth, who are basically holding back this, like God says, wait, before I unleash, I want you four angels, I want you to hold back everything. And they say that it kind of matches those four angels. Four angels match up with the four, if you guys remember from last week, the four horsemen that we read about in chapter 6 who carry out the destruction. So before all this is poured out on the earth, it is like God says, wait a second, hold on. Before you guys let this out, wait a minute. And God gives orders to a fifth angel. There's a fifth angel. And he tells us, He gives angels, he gives orders to this fifth angel who tells us why God says, wait a second, I want you to hold off for a second. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. This is what this angel is saying. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. All right? So this angel is said to be holding, this fifth angel comes walking into the scene, and it's holding the seal of the living God, it says. And this is probably, again, I told you about how there's, with those little wax seals on letters or on scrolls, that it's usually made by the signet ring, that says, hey, this the scroll or whatever this is belongs to this king or whatever. And so what this angel is holding maybe is perhaps like the signet ring of God saying, like, this belongs to me. Whoever has a seal cannot open this. Whoever has this mark belongs to me. And so God says, back in the ancient times, ancient world, there was a brand, or actually slaves, or people that worship gods would have like a tattoo on their forehead saying that I belong to this god or I belong to this owner. So there was like this, there were religious tattoos kind of showing allegiance to a particular god. And so this is what God is going to do with us. He's going to say, like, I am, before my wrath is poured out, I'm going to go to believers, and I'm going to place my seal on them, all right, so that we will be protected from this oncoming wrath that he's about to unleash on the earth. So I don't know, you guys have maybe, it might be something like this, because we know what these seals are. We know, like, there's going to be, like, again, war, there's going to be starvation, there's going to be, it describes some even strange things, like the fourth of the earth will be killed by the sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Kind of some really bizarre stuff. And so, if somehow, when God puts this seal on us, we'll kind of be protected from all this wrath that's coming. And in my mind, when I thought of this, I don't know if you guys remember a few years ago when the tsunami hit. What year was that? Was that 2 years ago? 3 years ago? But I remember seeing, there's some footage that came out after that tsunami hit of people who are standing kind of at the top of a hotel. And the video cam is looking down at the tsunami rushing through the town. And you can see, like cars, you can see, like, people. I mean, it's just like, the water is just rushing through. And there's like the people that are surviving are the ones that are either up high in trees or high from a hotel who just happened to be in their hotel when the tsunami hit. And they look down and they're like seeing people be swept away. And that's kind of the picture I have in my mind, is like that somehow when God comes down, before he just unleashes this wrath that is just unbearable so much that people are like, just mountains, I'd rather have a mountain come on me, is that God's people will be outside of it somehow. God's people will be outside of it. At least they'll be outside of what God's wrath, the stuff that he's sending. Okay? So, I don't know, how would that feel? How would it feel to know that, like, when this stuff comes, when it does come about, and it will come about, that hey, you, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are going to be, like, protected from his wrath? Because, I don't know, it's like, for me, it's like God is saying to us, like, hey, you know what, you're my children, all right? You are my children, and I'm your father. And you belong to me, so I'm going to seal you with this. As I was preparing, the song by Mercy Me, Spoken For, came to my mind, because it just reminds me. The song reminds me of just how much reminds me how much of our Father, like, sees us. And not, like, owns us, but it's like He calls us, like, our, you know, you're mine. These lyrics spoken for, you know, covered by your love divine, child of the risen Lord. To hear you say, this one's mine, my heart is spoken for. It's like, hey, you know what? If you're in Christ, your heart is spoken for. And when these times come, in the last days, God's going to say, look, these folks are mine. And I'll show it because I'm going to put my seal on them. And so I don't know. I mean, it's great to know that whatever will happen during this time, whenever this time comes about, that God has got you. He has got you, and He won't, you know, nothing will happen to you that He won't allow to happen to you. He is, like, sovereign, and He loves you, and He's your Father. And even today, I mean, we can't, it's hard for us to kind of relate to this or kind of think of what this will be like, but even today, wherever you are at in life, and you may be struggling with something right now, you may be like, hey, this is, you may be doing well, you may be struggling with something right now, but God has got you, you know, He has got you, you're His. And I tell you what, like, at these end times, there's going to be some pretty hairy stuff that we're going to see and experience. But He has got you. So He answers the question, like, who can stand? But who kind of answers, like, who are these people? Who are the ones who are going to be able to stand? Who are exactly these people who have this seal? And John tells us, starting in verse 4, he says, you know, then I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 from all tribes of Israel. The tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. And you guys can kind of go down the whole list of all the different tribes. And so, there's been kind of, over history, there's been kind of question of like, okay, what does this 144,000 mean? I remember Randy Johnson coming in here and saying, you know, all the Jehovah's Witness thought there was only 144,000 that would be saved. You know, there would only be 144,000 that would be in heaven until the Jehovah's Witness had more than 144,000. Then they had to, like, figure out, like, what's going on? We're more than 144,000. We have to, like, vote each other off or something like that? Or what's going on? So there's been some question about who these 144,000 are. And some had said that, you know, maybe he's talking about the martyrs. Maybe John's talking about there's 144,000 martyrs that were referred to back in chapter 6 when it talks about these servants who are yet to be killed for their faith. But this seems to be kind of a different list, a different, like, when this is all completed. So this seems to be kind of a different list, and the whole idea of this martyrs doesn't quite fit the symbolism of this, where we're at right now. And so actually, kind of the main question that people talk about is whether this 144,000 is referring to, is this Israel, or is it the church? Is it God's people? And so those who think the 144,000 is referring to Israel argue that, you know, that when the Bible talks about Israel, it's always being used of the Jewish people in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that it emphasizes when it says, like, all the tribes from Israel, there's that emphasis, so it can't be spiritualized to refer to the church, okay? But there is, on the other hand, there's significant evidence that says that this is referring actually to the whole church, this 144,000. There's quite a few indications that John takes that this is the whole church. One, throughout the whole book of Revelation, it mainly talks about the whole church. It's talking about what's happening to God's people at the end times. It's not just talking about the Israelites or the Jews. And aside from this passage, there's really no mention of Jewish believers apart from the Gentile church anywhere else in Revelation. And then also, the New Testament as a whole has a great deal of on this matter of the church as the new or true Israel. Like, there's some verses that talk about the church being this new Israel. So if you guys are really curious, you can ask me about those verses afterwards. But here's the deal, is that these numbers, 12. It's like 12 times 12 times 1,000. I guess the symbolism, and as we read it today, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us. But back then, the kind of the 12 times 12 times 1,000, the readers at the time would say, okay, this means kind of completion or wholeness, you know. So this is kind of referring to, I take it as the referring to the entire amount of God's people are sealed. But what I really want you to get from this is that even though this wrath is going to be heavy and it's going to be real, like, you know, we see, I don't know, I never saw it. Did anyone ever see 2012? Did anyone take the time to watch it? You know, like the end of the earth or whatever. And, you know, you kind of see some of these movies, you see some of this just graphic, just amazing stuff that they can do with CGI now. But I'm telling you that the stuff that we will see, that we will experience, I mean, it won't be Hollywood magic. None of us here have been in, like, war where we've seen just people, just mass amounts of people just killed. Or none of us here have been in a, you know, in a tsunami where we saw people being, with our own eyes, being swept away. Where I imagine those who experienced it today still have vivid images in their mind. I can't imagine you'd ever forget something like that. But this is how it will be in the end times. I mean, this is going to be some heavy and very real stuff. And we sit here today and we can't really grasp it, but it's going to be... What I want you to get from this is that God, He has called us as His own, and He's going to seal us. So whatever happens, and I hope that you guys, if it is 15 years from now, if it's 15 years from now that this happens, or if it's 60 years from now that this happens, you know, when you are sometime in your, you know, in your 70s or 80s or whatever, I hope that you guys say, look, I can go back to Scripture and say, look, this was talked about. And I know that God's got me. Whatever happens during this time period, He's got me because I've got His seal. I'm sealed with this, the seal, and with the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, but the other cool thing, the other great thing about this is that, as we kind of look at the rest of this passage, is that God, not only does He say that we are His and that He's sealed us, but the second thing He talks about is that He gives us several clear pictures in His Word of what it will be like when we persevere. So, like, afterwards, like, if we make it through this, if God enables us to persevere through this, what will it be like afterwards? And God gives us some clear pictures in His Word several times of what it'll be like when we do persevere. And, like, I don't know, what is the reward that we get in heaven? You know, like, will we have, like, giant mansions? Will we have, like, will it be like streets of gold? Will we be rich or something? Like, what is it that we actually get? What is the reward of persevering with God, you know, through this judgment, and through this time of the end times? And so, I'm going to give you just three rewards, or what kind of a picture of what life will be like in this end times. Okay, first thing is that if we do, you know, and God will help us to persevere through this time. At the end of that time, when it's all said and done, when the judgment's done, the wrath is done, the tribulation's done, God gives us a picture of what it's going to look like. And one of the main kind of rewards that we'll have, and it sounds kind of like a strange reward, but it is a reward, is that we'll get to, you know, we'll have the privilege of standing before the throne and worshiping continually throughout eternity. And I know, like, for you guys, you know, I know for you, like, what is the privilege of coming before the Lord and just worshiping Him, you know? I kind of picture it like, I know you guys were like, you know, I looked back at you guys a couple of months ago when we were back at the retreat, and there was just this fire, you know, there's this, like, I love worshiping. There was this passion when we sang. You know, there was this passion when we, like, worshiped. There was passion when we were together, you know. It's like, really cool. And I'm telling you, it's going to be like that every day. It's like a retreat only extended through, you know, through eternity. And it'll be better. It'll be better. Better than that. Because I sometimes, you know, I've seen you guys, a while ago we decided to take out the bulletins. Remember when we decided out the bulletins? I know that as you guys come in here, after church was out, I used to come and just kind of like clean up around, you know, and I'd see like little Chinese throwing stars that were made out of, out of the bulletins, or I'd see like, you know, those little things you got, like, someone was in church and they were playing the game where they're like, who will I marry? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, and like, I know that like, for some of you, it's like, you hear God's word and I come up and preach and we sing and it just bores you sometimes. I mean, sometimes you're just not into it. You're tired. It just bores you, right? You'd rather be making like a crane out of paper than like worshiping or hearing God's word. You know, but I'm telling you, when it comes to the end, and we won't be reading about the throne room anymore. We'll be experiencing it. It'll be live and in color, and it won't be like, oh, the throne of the 24 elders bowed down. It will be like here in front of us. And it won't be like, you won't be thinking about like building a crane, you know, or a Chinese throwing star on a paper. It'll be like, it'll capture you because it'll be amazing. It'll be huge. It'll be overwhelming. I shared this once before. There's the guy across the street from, who used to live across the street from us, when we lived, we moved in Colossae, but he once asked me, he's like, Brady, I heard that in heaven that even if you're married now, that you won't be married anymore in heaven. And he said, what's the deal with that? And I kind of talked a little bit about the scripture, but I said, Ben, you know what it'll be like, though? The deal is that when you walk into heaven, the way that they describe heaven in the Bible is that it's like going into something where for the first time, like, whoever you've walked into the room with is like, you don't even remember that they're there for a second. You know, have you ever experienced something like, maybe something horrific, like an accident, where you're with someone, and for a second, the scene that you see is so amazing, so awe-inspiring, that you don't even think about who you're with at the time or where you are. You're just focused on what is happening. And that is like what heaven will be like. You know, the privilege of worshiping day in and day out, it won't be a grind. It will be like just, you'll be floored every time you're there and you're just worshiping and you see God for who He really is. You'll be floored. For eternity, you'll be floored. There'll never be an end to it. It'll be like the retreat. Like, you know, our days will just be spent just worshiping Him, and just hanging out and fellowshipping together. I'm like, I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. Okay? You should be too. So that's the first thing. Okay? The second is this. And let me read through it. Let's take a look at it. It says this. So here's the privilege. After I look, this is now he skips from kind of before the judgment till after. Verses 9 through 12 says this. After I looked, there before me was a great multitude, and no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. The mission was accomplished, right? Every tribe, every kind of people were there. And language. Standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. That's the privilege. Standing in front of the Lamb. There they were, wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, just like we sang, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around on the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Let me stop there for a second. Man, have you ever, I don't know if you've ever done this. Have you ever just worshiped God, like, on your face? Have you ever, like, just, I know, like, when we pray here, you know, we'll just kind of kind of lean over in our chairs and so forth, or you know, a lot of times when I'm running, like I'll pray, or walking, I'll pray. But have you ever worshiped God, like where you actually lay down on your face and worshiped Him? Because man, whenever we see, a lot of times when we see Scripture and we see people who have this encounter, like Paul on the road to Damascus, what happens is they like get on their face and they worship Him. I don't know. I mean, maybe you want to try that sometime, of like in your room, or you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be. I don't recommend like in the middle of your hallway at your school or anything like that. But I'm just like in your room or sometime, someplace in private, you know, get down on your face and just worship. Amen, saying, as they were on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So that is the privilege. I mean, that is what we will enjoy forever, is just worshiping Him. Okay, so that's one of the, if you can, as God allows you, enables you to persevere, this is what the reward is. This is what we're looking forward to. Here's the second thing, is that all earthly sufferings and sorrows will be taken away once for all. Starting in verse 13, it says, Then one of the elders asked me, These in white robes, who are they? Or where did they come from? I answered, Sir, you know. And he said, These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. So the second thing is that, you know, I don't know, I think that this passage will mean a lot more, because it says these are the folks that are brought out of the tribulation. And again, we'll learn about what happens during the tribulation, but part of it is that after some will be asked to take the sign of the beast, the sign of Satan, and it will only be with that sign that you'll be able to purchase food, to buy food. And so, I don't know, it kind of reminds me that, hey, there'll be some Christians who like say, no, we're not taking the sign of the beast. We'll rather starve to death than follow Satan. And this passage, I think, will mean a lot more during the time of the tribulation, when there's like just this mass persecution going on, where we'll be like, never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. You know, this idea that now that you're with me, this is all gone. All the suffering is all gone. And I imagine even today, you know, those who, maybe Christians in Sudan who are being persecuted, who are being, you know, tortured, whoever, this passage means everything. You know, one day we are going to be there and all this will be over. We'll be done. We'll be free. We'll be with Him. Okay? But I still feel like we can relate to this somewhat even here. And we'll look at this last section. So one, we'll get the privilege of standing in front of His throne. Two, all the sufferings and sorrows will be taken away. And third, the Lamb will become our shepherd and kind of lead us to this life-giving springs. Look with me in the last verse. Verse 17 says, For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear away from their eyes. So again, Christ will, like, you know, lead all those who came, were brought out of the tribulation to these springs of life, and will wipe every tear away. And I know, again, I think, again, much more during the tribulation, but for you, when I first started talking about God having this plan to take back the earth, for some of you, maybe a couple of you in here right now who's experiencing something so heavy, you know, if you're ever in a spot in your life where you are just so burdened by sin around you, burdened by the circumstances of life, and you are just like, you cry out like, God, I am just ready to be done. I'm ready to be finished with this sin. I'm ready to be finished with the sin of my own life. I'm ready to be done with the sin of other people. I'm just ready to go home. This is what this is saying. It's like, Christ, the Lamb will wipe every tear away. You know, and it won't be anymore. It won't be anymore. So, this is really for us, it's really an encouragement to persevere. Whatever you're experiencing right now, whether it's a dry spell, whether it's a trial, whether it's something heavy in your life, it's just a call to say, keep walking with the Lord, because in the end, there's going to be reward, okay? There's going to be reward. And my challenge for you today is to think about how are you living, how will you live this upcoming week in light of what we've read, of what we've seen? How will you live this upcoming week? Because, I think that even Christians fall into this trap of you become this professional or whatever, and you build up, you build up maybe finances, you build up security around you, you spend a lot of time working hard to get ahead, to build the security around you, to invest in your life here and now, but really, nothing goes into investing in eternity for us. Or for you guys, I'm not saying don't study for tests or take studying seriously or SATs or ACTs. Do all that unto the Lord. But I remember this. I remember James Lee sharing with us how he came to know the Lord. And I remember him sharing that Silu had said, hey James, why don't you come with us to this, we're going to this outing where the gospel was presented. And I remember James saying this is what he remembers, is that, that Silu invited him, and that was the first time he heard the gospel. And I'm telling you, in the end, that's what's going to be remembered. Stuff like that, of someone sharing the gospel with you, of someone bringing you to hear the gospel. And so I'm saying, this week, as we think about our outreach, what's going to be remembered this week is, what we do for God. Will we invite someone? I mean, I'm not saying, if you don't invite someone. I'm just saying, what you do this week for God will be remembered forever. The test that you take this week, just keep studying for it, right? Study for it. Study it with excellence. But, in 10 years from now, you won't remember. You won't remember the score you got. You won't care what score you got. You may remember, you may remember what you got on your ACT or SAT or whatever, but you won't remember this stuff. But there will be things that will be remembered for eternity. All right, so why don't I close this in prayer, and we're going to respond in song. Heavenly Father, thanks for the reminder of that we are yours. We are your sons and daughters. And we're sealed with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, this picture that you paint is an awesome one, of your wrath coming down on those who don't know you. And Lord, as we read this book, there's really no one on the fence. There's no seekers in this spot. There are none who know you halfway. Either we know you, and we're your sons or daughters, or we don't know you, and we will experience kind of the wrath at the end times. So there's none on the fence here. So Father, I pray for one that if there are any in this room this morning who, just kind of are on the fence, Lord, that you would move them towards towards yourself and receiving you as their Savior and Lord. Thank you for the reminder that you love us, that you are our dad, and that you will protect us. And Father, I also pray that you'd help us to walk through wherever we're at. We will walk through trials, suffering, and one day persecution. Help us to walk through it. Remind us of this passage that help us to keep in our minds the joy that we'll experience one day standing in front of you, worshiping you face to face. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.